There are some disadvantages, and one of those we mentioned already is the concentration of risks, your field of membership, the geographic concentrations, the demographic concentrations. So credit unions are small compared to the world at large and the large banking institutions. All credit unions are small, and almost all of you fit in that category. Even if you're a $200 or $300 or $400 million credit union, when you look at the size of some of your competitors out there, it's a very small asset base to work off of. Asset ri or excuse me, reputation risk, again, can be impacted by that concentration, and credit unions typically are small when compared to the world at large. And for most of you, you're not active in the capital markets and don't have a lot of experience in the capital markets, and that's a little bit of a disadvantage. If a very large bank has a liquidity issue, they'll probably just go to the capital markets and raise funding in the capital markets through a number of resources. Credit unions typically don't have the sophistication and the experience to do that. So where does the demand for funding, or where does liquidity risk come from? First of all, if you owe money to a wholesale lender like your corporate or the Federal Home Loan Bank or the Fed discount window, that has to be paid. Typically, those are demand loans, in some cases not. But if you owe a loan and the terms say that you need to make a payment, then you need to make a payment. That's a demand for funding. The majority of the demand for funding comes from member deposits. There's various classes of member deposits. We've already talked that insured shares and deposits tend to be very stable. But even if 5% of those left, that could be a significant unanticipated outflow of funds. Uninsured depositors are less stable. Business deposits are less stable. Single relationship CDs, that's where the member's only relationship with the credit union is through a CD, probably based on rate or price. And large depositors tend to be a little bit more unstable. Your non-member deposits, brokered funds, and public funds tend to be not nearly as stable as your insured in your insured shares. So there's kind of where the sources of funding demand from your counterparties originates. The big one from the standpoint of the largest number is your insured shares. That's the least likely to happen, but if it does happen, you've got almost all of your funding comes from insured shares. So a minor hiccup there could cause relationships. Some of you have single relationship CDs, a few of you have brokered CDs, and a handful of you have public funds, and those are the areas that you want to be careful additionally, you don't want to cut off new loans. The credit union wants to be in a position where if a qualified borrower walks in, you are going to want to make that loan. You don't want a lifelong member or a really strong member to walk in and say, "Hey, I want to buy a new pickup truck. In fact, I just bought it. When can I get my check?" You say, "Well, yeah, you are a great borrower. Your loan's approved, but we won't have the money for a few days." That would be something that you obviously want to avoid. Entering that business relationship. So even though technically you don't have to make new loans, you certainly don't want to be a position where you turn down good loans. The other issue that we need to talk about is off-balance sheet items. For credit unions, they typically are minimized, but if you have lines of credit that you've issued for credit cards or home equity lines of credit, or maybe business lines of credit, you need to be ready to fund those things. If you, by any chance, sold any loans with recourse, if you're involved in derivatives and hedging, which probably the majority are not, probably all of you are not at this point in time. In the future, that could change.